Hey, Perry here. I'm just going to do a little advertisement, a little self-promotion for myself. We're all good about bragging about ourselves, right? It's COVID-19 quarantine time. I'm snuggled up with my dog. Actually, he's just sleeping on the couch, not doing anything, doesn't care what's going on. Like many of your furry friends out there, they don't care. They're just like, take me on a walk. I need pets. I need food. I need treats. The bones, the good ones. I know what the cheap ones are. Anyways, as you know, I started a consulting business. It's called iRocket. And many of you are probably not thinking about spending money to improve your practice right now. I get it. I have a practice I share with my dad. Well, he owns it. But I have the responsibility of keeping staff happy and communicating with them what's going on in the world. Are they going to be receiving their full compensation? The answer is no, they're not. We are providing as many hours as we can to support them, and we will invite all of them back to have their jobs afterwards. Anyways, when we do get back to business here in, 2 to 34 weeks, whatever it is, we are going to want to start improving our systems again. Get that machine oiled, that practice oiled up, ready to start firing off sales. And now's the time to strategize. How are you going to lower your cost of goods? Okay? We're all going to have bills to pay. Those don't stop. Maybe you have some deferments, but how are you going to pay those bills? And I just want to tell you, I can help you lower your cost of goods. That's one of the things I do. I literally will comb through every little file, online app you pay for, instrument, subscription, and negotiate better rates for you because I just have those relationships where I can get it done for you. You deserve to be in the lane. That's where you should be making the money, not always focusing on the business side. And so, if you need my help lowering your cost of goods, that's one area I can really help you. And there's about nine other areas I can help you, and you can find them on iRocket.com. And before you turn off this podcast and go look at cat videos or something, I want you to go to the show notes below or wherever in your app and go watch my YouTube video about eyeglasses sales. I made an awesome YouTube video and you're gonna laugh. Got some fancy animations on there, and it has an analogy that the front door of our practices is like a vacuum. And when that patient goes to the front desk to check out, they become a consumer. They're not a patient anymore. They're in the optical, they're a consumer, and that front door opens and it's sucking and it's whirring that patient out. And I have a video like this, and it's hilarious. Go watch it now. So this podcast, we're going to be talking about frame inventory, how to buy things, how to mark things up, how to organize things. Frames for different facial features, how to label the glasses to actually show the pricing, and should you have branded frames, non-branded frames? Should you have all blue frames, a mixture, an assortment? Do you just buy all Exotica? We're going to go through all that. So you should listen, and it's something we don't really talk about. We just leave it up to the frame buyer and do your thing. But you should, if you're the owner, doctor listening to this, or a really dedicated optician or frame rep, I have some pearls of wisdom that I drop. Go listen. Keep listening. All right, thanks. Up next, we're talking about pretty much my favorite topic. It's glasses. I love eyewear. I'm a minus six in my right eye, minus seven in my left. Thank you, mom and dad, for the poor eyesight. I actually did ortho K when I was a kid, but I stopped it because I didn't really like putting lenses on at night. It was annoying. But I did well with it. I ended up plano, but you revert back after ortho K when you stop. So glasses make up a huge portion of all of our practices. Probably 50% of our income can really be contributed to eyewear in our practices. So we have to learn to make money in the dispensary. Vision Expo is coming up, and if you're listening to this podcast before then, I looked up how big the Javis is, and I think it's 14 football fields, and just the eyewear portion is like seven football fields, large. So there's a ton of eyeglasses out there. And if there's seven football fields, Luxottica and Safflow and Marcolin don't take up all of those, you know, the three beast. There are other vendors out there that you can choose from who are not competing against you. You know, we're really lucky in Optometry. We get to sell fashion goods with an RX medical component. You know, other docs would kill for this opportunity to have retail and make extra dough. You know, dermatologists are also very lucky. They get to sell creams and lotions and stuff in office and do a bunch of aesthetic cash treatments. You know, your primary care physician who's doing, you know, diabetes and just normal sickness stuff, you know, they have nothing to sell. So their income is kind of fixed. We need to take advantage of our retail component. You know, our opticals have wings. You know, it will fly itself. But retail takes, you know, a hands-on approach. You got to keep your eye on the prize, and it's the profits. You know, you can't let laziness, old staff members, trends, experts, corporations, resistant employees, and coworkers, ease of purchasing through buying groups, trade shows, deals, and prices influence your optical awesomeness. Only you can initiate the optical change to build your eyewear empire. Remember that. We're the only person that can change your opticals. Right now, I'm going to go through about 10 key points to really assessing if you're carrying the right eyeglasses inventory. Eyeglasses are really heavy in profits. It's also very heavy in overhead. I mean, wow, you could have a couple hundred thousand dollars in inventory easy. And if you look at eyeglasses on a wall, displays, racks, however you show them in your gallery, imagine each frame is like a $100 bill. And you can tell your staff that. Just imagine a $100 bill on every frame. And that kind of puts it into perspective that you have a crap ton of inventory. So the first thing is, are you carrying the right brands? Today, consumers want snazzy, cool products. You know, you don't have to overcomplicate things. Brands are the death of private practice the majority of the time. If you're selling Coach and Ray-Ban, so does the optometrist down the street, so does eBay. So yes, those brands could drive sales to your practice, and every community is different. Some people are more brand focused, but it doesn't mean everything has to have a label on it. Non-brands are really taking over the consumer retail market today. We want less logos on the side of our temples. And we're not the only industry experiencing brand disruption of the goods. Think about mattresses, you know, Purple. I forgot the other ones. There's luggage like Away and leggings. These traditional companies like Simmons, Samsonite, and Lululemon now have lots of competition. So, you know, the eyewear vendors are coming in hot too with the competition. You know, the great thing about smaller eyewear vendors is the quality is superior, the design is stunning, and you have exclusivity. So say goodbye to folks price shopping. Now, do your demographics even care about name brands? You might think consumers are brand conscious, but you know that's really in your head. The best feeling is discovering your new favorite brand. Show consumers towards what's trending and they'll see you as an eyewear expert. Sure, there's brand whores. It's okay to carry a few key name brand collections of eyewear. Just remember though, independent eyewear brands will always make people feel unique because they will be the only person in their friend group sporting something unique. You know, just imagine if someone's at a cocktail party and they got this cool like blue round P3 frame on. Like, whoa, where'd you get that? I mean, Coach isn't going to be making that. It's going to be an independent brand. Next, showrooming. Do you know what that is? I will explain it to you. It's when somebody comes in, they snap a picture of a frame or ask you what the model is and they go buy it somewhere else retail-wise, or they buy it online. Not cool. Definitely not cool. So don't let RXs walk out your door. When you present a small brand eyewear, you present the opportunity to show something unique only found in your optical. Now you might be wondering, well, where do I buy these independent brands? I don't have reps coming in. You know, I live in Kansas City and it just amazes me that a lot of independent frame reps don't even show up to my office. So if you're an independent frame rep and you're listening to this, hello, there's tremendous opportunity out there for you. You need to go visit offices. So, you know, the easiest way to buy them is go to a trade show. It could be anything. It could be your local state association trade show. It could be a regional one like Vision Expo, you know, like SECO. It could be a bigger one like one of the Vision Expos. Or, you know, international ones, you know, Mito or something in China. Just take a risk. Go see what's going on. And, you know, it's not that big of a risk bringing an independent collection on. Look,
You spend 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 bucks, bring 30, 40 pieces in. You're buying expensive medical equipment for, $80,000 for an OptiMap or OCT. You can really afford an independent collection. You're going to make the profit back on it. And yes, you can always return them. Don't worry about the return rate. Just focus on sales and product knowledge, and the rest will come natural to you. The next thing is we're going to talk about doing inventory correctly. If you're listening to this podcast and you don't know how much wholesale dollars you have tied up in inventory, I worry about you. And your accountant worries about you. How are you probably going to do your taxes if you don't know how much goods you have in your office? So, inventory is really simple. You buy frames, they come in your office, you input them into your practice management software, the SKUs, sizes, colors, models, and what you paid for them and what you're charging for them. That's inventory. So, make sure you're doing that on a regular basis. And then also auditing throughout the year your inventory, because there's always going to be some type of shrinkage. Next, with inventory, you always have to record your frame sales. You have to, have to, have to. What I mean by that is when a optician sells glasses, make sure they take it out of inventory in the invoice. This is an easy way to make sure you have an accurate frame count. And then you can see how well your opticians are doing with their sales. It's all about objective data. It's not emotional when you're doing performance reviews. Let's talk about displaying prices on frames. I personally don't display prices on frames because it causes people just to pass up a frame that says $400 on it, and they're like, "Nope, my VSP only covers 180. Definitely not getting that frame." I want people to choose based on what they actually want and not what their budget says. So if you're putting tags on your frames, I'm not going to hate on you because that is one way to do it and be really transparent. But I prefer to code my frames, sit the patient down, and have them ask about the pricing. How do you know when to discontinue a brand? We all have those frames that just sit on our board 6 months, 9 months, 12 months. We're like, dang, I really love the frames. I love the rep. But it's just not responding. Patients aren't responding to the frames. We've showed it 100 times and we've sold 4 pieces. And it happens sometimes. Sometimes you just get a bad batch, doesn't work in your community. It doesn't mean the frame line sucks. Maybe we're just not presenting it right, or your demographic is just not into, those colors. So that's exactly when you discontinue it. When time goes on and it's not selling, you just have to make that decision. We're done. It's been 9 months. We're not selling it. So just decide to get rid of it. A few ways you can do that. You can discount it if you want, package it, put some Plano sun lenses in it, and that might really actually help the most. And that's how you get rid of it. Next. Frame inventory. Are you selling enough unique frames in your market to become a destination for best in class eyewear? There's always going to be a boutique or two in every town, whether it's a private optometry practice or an independent optician who has the funky glasses. And funky doesn't mean it has to be this weird European stuff with, bright pinks and crazy shapes. It really just means that you have things that are not available in other areas. You want to be that one or two in town who has the awesome product. If you want to compete in this insurance market, people go eyewear insane picking out glasses. It's a major life decision for most people as they're selecting the perfect frames. It's really important when patients are trying on glasses, they are not just choosing because they're obsessed with the brand like Ray-Ban, but they choose their glasses because they are visually stunning and fit well. You want the glasses aficionado consumer and not the brand conscious one. You want the buyer who just loves exploring brands they have never heard of. You want the buyer that loves trying on new exciting products that can only be found in your office. It really just takes one time presenting alternative options to patients for them to realize it's not the name that matters, but the design and build constructions. You know that feeling when you find a great new restaurant spot? That's the same feeling people get when they find the best optical for unique eyewear. They will forever tell their friends to go visit. The last thing I really want to call out about eyewear inventory is we can't just be catering to Caucasian facial features. We have to cater to all ethnicities and facial features. So blacks, Asians, Koreans, aliens, whatever else. You have to master the art of fitting people. So if you got someone who comes in, let's say like a football player and they got like a melon head, I mean, what are you going to put on them? A 56 eye? No, you need a 62 eye with a 155 temple. You just have to have these things available. And of course, you're not going to have a whole stock of 50 pieces of it. But if you have five massive frames, that's more than any other optical had for that person. Same thing goes with, flatter noses, flat bridges. You have to have a whole collection or two with Zyle frames that are made for this and metal frames that are made for these facial features. You know, when a flat bridge person comes into your office, don't just say, hey, you need a nose padded frame. Or don't just select a frame that sits on their cheeks. You really need to be open and honest and say, hey, these don't fit. I have an option for you. Why don't you take a seat right here and let me fit you. The same thing goes for petite frame lines. A lot of petite people out there, and there's frame lines built just for them as well. You need those 46s and 48 iframes in your office, not with Mickey Mouse on them, but adult styling. So invest in one or two petite lines as well. You don't have to go super deep in them, but you know, have 20 or 30 pieces for petites and Asians and blacks and other ethnicities. You know, you have to realize that you're not going to sell a lot of these frames per year, but when you do get that patient who walks in two or three times a month, you are going to have that piece, and they are going to be a returning patient, and they're going to refer their other little petite friends or big friends. There's power in fitting niche patient needs. People don't like taking a risk when buying eyewear. They're creatures of habit. They want consistency. When you provide this, they will return. No one wants to go find a new dentist every year. No one wants to find a new optician every year. It's just one of those things where, like, you know what? I'm going to go back. You know, we all go to the same car wash probably over and over and over. We're consistent. We know how it works. It's the service industry. Show people the service. So that's eyewear inventory for you. Remember, optical is heavy in profits. You just have to know where to make it.
Hey, this is Perry. Time for a little advertisement here. Stay in here. Don't leave. Don't leave. Please don't leave. This one's about frames that you can actually have designed for your office, and frames with a lot of funky character to it. This advertisement is brought to you by Brillin Eyes. No, I'm not related to this company, just similar name. So Brillin Eyes is a branded collection only sold to the three O's, optometrists, ophthalmologists, and opticians, and their partnership is with you. Yes, you. You listening. It's a privately owned optical frame developer and distributor with over 40 years of combined experience in the eyewear and optical industry. The portfolio consists of Ella and Max with two X's, Dutz Eyewear, Dutz Kids, Reykjavik Eyes, Black Label, Roy Robson, and Brillin Eyes house brand. The collections are exclusively European style products available only to opticians, optometrists, and ophthalmologists, never sold to large discounters or chains or online optical retailers. In addition, with their own design and sourcing staff in the US and German offices, they're able to focus on private label offerings to individual offices, small to medium-sized OD, MD groups, and large retail chains by offering several options depending on your demographics and budgetary needs. Heads up, you know, I've actually been carrying Brillin Eyes probably for, wow, maybe over 6 years, 7 years. It's the Dutz collection is fabulous. It's my favorite, one of them out there. Beautiful, beautiful matte painted colors. Great for high myopes. If you need something for that, you can get these nice little 42 eyes. Wow, just fantastic colors. The acetates are awesome. The paint doesn't chip. And the kids collection, Dutz Kids, whoa. If you have parents that want to get their kids like really cool frames at a little higher budget price, I'm not talking a lot. It's like the frames will sell for like $180 or $250, whatever you sell it at. It's fantastic. They also, like I said, you can make frames with them. You can choose from their factories, design your own collection. They make it super easy. You don't need to go to China. Go check them out, please. All right. BrillinEyes.com.